This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. So we are here today with a very, very special and unique guest, and someone who is long overdue as a guest of our East Plano Islamic Center, because he is one of the most prominent pastors and evangelical preachers in all of America. And he's also our neighbor here in Dallas. He's somebody who's lived here for so many years. So we have long been wanting to invite Pastor Bob Roberts. So we're very honored that he's come here and spent some of his gracious evening to come and spend some time with us. Pastor Bob does not really need a long introduction. If you Google his name, you'll find many, many web pages. But he started a church here in the Dallas area called Northward Church in the Keller District. And it's grown to be many different branches. He has an international resume, working with so many countries since the early 90s. He was involved with the Vietnamese government and, you know, humanitarian effort over there. And then in Afghanistan as well, he was cooperating with humanitarian aid and got to know some of the warlords. He might tell us some of the stories over there over that. So over the course of the last 30, 40 years, he's lived a very, very interesting life. And he's founded an organization called Multi-Faith Neighbors Network, which he will tell you more about. But Pastor Bob, welcome to our East Plano Islamic Center.
Thank you, Yasser. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. And we wanted to keep it short because it is a week day, I know, but he's promised to come again, and hopefully maybe even I'll visit his community as well. So this is the beginning of something far more fruitful. But I wanted to begin with some very frank questions, Pastor Bob. First question, for a lot of us in this audience, we don't know much about evangelicals. And to be very honest, and I'm being very blunt with you, the term sometimes is a bit frightful for us because of the experiences we've had. So can you explain who the evangelicals are and what makes them different from other branches of Christianity?
Well, first of all, I want to apologize to you that the word evangelical frightens you. I'm sorry about it. It scares me too. And so one of the things that I would say is the evangelical is the most conservative Christian. Now, what that means is they should be the most loving. Sadly, for whatever reason, the more conservative some people are, the angrier they get, the harsher they are. We have that problem in Christianity. So you've got your Catholics, which the Pope is the leader of the Catholics. I've met him. I have high regard for him. And then you've got your Protestants. And we don't believe there should be a Pope. We go straight to God when we pray. No priests like that. In your Protestants, you have two groups of Protestants. First is what's called your mainline denominations. And this is going to be very confusing for you. So the mainline are the old historic denominations that are more traditional, and over the years they became more liberal. And then you've got your evangelicals. Your evangelicals are the conservatives. They've also been around a long time, but instead of becoming liberal, they stayed conservative. So there are four things that we evangelical rally around. Number one is the Bible. So I've read the Quran multiple times. As Muslims, you believe the Quran is inspired. It is the word of God. We also believe that our Bible is also inspired. Now, we wouldn't describe it as the word of God like you would. There's some differences there. But the reality is that we believe the Bible is authoritative. The second thing we believe, all right, hold your breath. I can't believe I'm going to say this in a mock. Don't get angry with me. We believe Jesus is God. We don't believe he was just a prophet or a good man. We believe he was all of that. I work with Imam Majid. If he was here with me, I would say, so Majid, do you believe Jesus was born of a virgin? Say, yes. Do you believe that he lived a sinless life? Yes. Do you believe that he worked miracles? Yes. Do you believe that he's the Messiah? Yes. Do you believe he's coming back again? Yes. Do you believe that he died on the cross for our sins so that we can have eternal life with him? No. You believe that he's God? No. So we disagree there. We believe that Jesus is literally God. We believe in a concept called the Trinity. One essence, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Here's the next thing we believe, is that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. So we do not believe Jesus died for Christians. We believe he died for everyone. Well, Bob, what about those people who don't accept him? We believe that he created all people because he's the Father. God created all people. And so as a result of that, he died for all of our sins so that we could be forgiven. All right? And the fourth and final thing is what we would say activism, that our faith should be active in two ways. Number one, in telling other people about Jesus. And number two, in serving other people. So in both of those ways.
So obviously, Bob, we all agree with the first points that Imam Majid would agree with as well. But obviously, as we all know, we believe that God is perfect and one, and neither did he take a son, nor is there any God besides him. So we're going to have to agree to disagree. But it's important that we create these parameters and demarcate our differences, because there's a lot in common, but our constituents need to know that, yes, there's some also disagreements, and we have to work around those disagreements, and we have to work together for the greater good. So I'm going to go to the next question,
I want to say I like that.
Okay, so
and
do
the
I.
The reason I like that is everybody says, well, I don't want to say anything to offend the other person. Well, that's just foolish. How many of you men have offended your wife at least once today already? Because you disagreed, but you still love your wife. So I think it's important that we demarcate the difference. I have Christians tell me, don't tell Muslims all up at front you believe that Jesus is God and he died on the cross for our sins. And I tell those Christians, why? It's the core of our faith. It's what we believe. So I would rather get the hard stuff out of the way first and say, okay, we disagree about that. Then how can we work together?
And by the way, I'll be a guest at his church and I'm going to talk about Islam in front of his constituents. That's the way it's going to work. So it's what we do, okay? I'm going to again ask a very frank question. So I kind of hinted at it in the first question. Out of all of the groups of Christianities, evangelicals are the ones that we kind of sort of tense up at when we hear about. Why in particular do the evangelicals seem to have so many misconceptions? Why do we sense from them such animosity? And I'm being very honest here.
Oh, it's true. It's true. So I would say a couple of things. Number one, you're right. Did you know as evangelicals, we actually research ourselves? And do you know what we found out? We found out that we create more tension with the Muslim community than any other religious group.
So it's not our imagination. It's true.
It's not your imagination. Okay. Okay. Our own research says it. Now listen to this. Here's the only difference. Here's the only difference. The group that's worse than evangelicals, evangelical pastors. So please don't be offended by this. I'm all over the Muslim world all the time. I actually speak in mosques around the world. Did you know that I've been to places where sometimes the imam will actually say harsh things about America, harsh things about Christians? It's the same way in America. We just reversed it. So we Christian pastors, when you hear some pastor on television in Dallas say horrible things about Islam, he's just like the imam back in the Middle East who's being harsh towards Christians. It's a problem with being the majority. That's the problem. Is there space for one another? And there has to be. So here's what I would say to you. Here's why. There's several reasons. Number one, we don't know Muslims. We don't. The only thing we knew about Muslims was Muhammad Ali, and we liked him.
We all like him.
Yeah. And then came the Iranian Revolution. And then came the 90s, where the bombings of the towers first took place. And then came 9/11. And so in our news, keep in mind, you have 3 minute bites of news. The only thing we hear about a Muslim is they're terrorists, they're extremists, and they want to kill us. The second thing is, how many of you Muslims would like the whole world to follow the path of Islam? Can I see your hands? Did you know if we were going to church and I were to ask that same question and say, how many of you Christians would love for you to follow Jesus? They would all raise their hands just alike. What does that mean? It means that we have a different ideology, and so as a result, we disagree and we compete with one another. I don't think that's bad. I think what's bad is when we vilify one another. I have something I teach young pastors. Never, never, never trash another religion. If the only way your religion can be strong is to destroy another religion, or to stay isolated from other religions because they'll infect you, you must have an awful weak faith. Some of my pastor friends got upset that I would let Muslims come to our church, that I would let my children be with Muslims. My kids are close to Muslims. They're adult kids now. They go to Ramadan, everything. My little grandkids love Ramadan. They don't understand they can't eat all day. The Christian part of them starts early in the morning. But when they go to the Ramadan, it kicks in. But here's what I want you to understand. In the differences that we face, we have to realize that when we work together and those differences are there, we can live together. I'm not worried about my kids because I feel like I've done a good job training them. Can I tell you one funny story? So I'm at a mosque and I'm listening to the imam preach. He didn't know I was there. Well, it was a good friend was there and he was absent. He said, go on in anyhow, just stand by this particular person. So I did. I go to mosques frequently. All right, do y'all mind? I'm curious. I go. I always tell the imam I'm there. You're always welcome to come visit our church. And so he stood up and he started talking. He's preaching a hard sermon. You need to be righteous. You need to be holy. You need to act good. Because if you don't, your kids are going to get on drugs. They're going to become Christians. And you're going to ask, where did I fail? And I wanted to laugh, but I could not. You know, because I could not. I've heard that same sermon. Except your kids are going to become Muslims. All right? Do you understand? So I think the fear, I think the anger of Islam is real. But let me tell you what changes it immediately. Here's what changes it immediately. When a Christian gets to know a Muslim, they change their mind. I do these retreats with pastors, imams, and rabbis all over the world, with some of the harshest pastors and harshest imams in the world. They don't even want to be together. The imams will stay separate from the pastors. They're angry. By the third day, they're laughing with one another. What changed? Did they find a new verse in the Quran or a new verse in the Bible? No, they discovered one another. That's it. So what I would say is it's real, it's present, but you can change it by being a friend with some of them. See, that's what happened to me. Listen, I'm what you call a fundamentalist from Deep East Texas. Very conservative, very strict. The only thing I cared about non-Christians was converting them. And if I couldn't convert them, then I don't have any time for you. That is so wrong. But in my mind, that's how I grew up, seeing people as projects instead of people. As Christians, we believe the Hebrew scriptures when it says created in the image of God. So we believe there is this spark of divinity that God has placed inside of everyone.
So can you elaborate a little bit on that? I'm interested to hear about your own story. Like you yourself said that evangelical pastors are really, amongst the most difficult to deal with the Muslim community. They're the ones building walls, and yet here you are building bridges. So what triggered you? Because I know you told me that when you were growing up, you had the same fear, the same notion. What happened in your own trajectory so that we can benefit when we interact with other evangelicals to help them as well, just tone down? I mean, of course, we want everybody to convert, but at least don't hate us, don't stereotype us. Even if you're going to remain Christian, I'd much rather a faithful Christian who loves and cares about me than somebody of whatever faith who hates me and wants to kill me, right? So we just want to get along in this society and live and let live. How do we get to that stage? What was your story?
So I got to know a Muslim, and he was a warlord from Afghanistan, and he wasn't a refugee here. I got to know him in Afghanistan. And so what happened is, it's kind of really a funny story. I did something really bad. I was visiting with the governor of a particular province. I'd gone to do humanitarian work. I did not want to go to Afghanistan. I was afraid of Muslims. At this point, I believe all Muslims hated me. They wanted to kill me. I was scared to death. So I'm going to Afghanistan and I meet all these Muslims, and these are supposed to be the toughest of the tough, the baddest of the bad, but I like them. We're laughing, we're having fun. These are imams. These are people that are supposed to kill me. No, they're laughing, we're having fun. And so I asked the governor, what do you need? And he said, I need a children's hospital. Well, I'm a Baptist pastor, not an Episcopalian or a Presbyterian. They've got money. If your neighbor is Episcopalian or Presbyterian, very important about denominations. If your neighbor is a Presbyterian or Episcopalian, be grateful. They have money, be nice to them. If they're a Baptist, good luck. I'm a Baptist, but I thought, who in the world could I get to build a children's hospital? So I tell him, and so, okay, I'll do it. And I'm trying to figure out, how am I gonna raise $10 million? So I come back and I call every Presbyterian I know, just one. And I ask him, and believe it or not, he agrees to do it. He's a doctor.
Wow.
So we go over, we have this big groundbreaking ceremony in a particular city. I get through, I love to climb in mountains. So I'm sitting there, I go, man, I'd love to see these mountains in Afghanistan. And he looked over at me and said, Bob, you want to see mountain? I show you mountain. So I leaned to the guy with me and I said, I'm here, is this safe? He said, Bob, you're in Afghanistan, nothing is safe. But do you know who he is? I said, no. He said, his father is the tribal leader for half of the country and everybody wants to meet with him. And he was helping me the whole time. He said, he likes you, you should go with him. And so I said, okay. And so he grabbed my backpack and said, good, we will have fun. We will spend night in desert. So I'm thinking, I'm gonna die, Jesus, I'm gonna die. Bobby's coming home to heaven tonight. And so we get in it, and he sits in the front seat, has a machine gunner beside him. I'm in the back seat, gives a little guy with a machine gunner by me. The back compartment is a guy, a rocket launcher. Now I'm from Texas, so that's like gun heaven. I mean, machine guns, rocket launchers. And I'm gonna tell you something, I learned to shoot a rocket launcher and it was a lot of fun too. You've not lived till you've gone camel chasing across the desert. But anyhow, that's another story. So we're going across the desert, we're laughing and having fun. And I got nervous because if you tell a Pashto who you are, they'll protect you, but you'd better be honest. So I'm nervous and I'm wondering, did the governor explain to this man who I am? I don't want him to find out he's with a Baptist pastor and then he kills me or something. So I said, did they explain? He said, yes. I said, so you know I'm a humanitarian. Yes, you humanitarian. And you know I'm a Christian. He said, yes, you Christian, you American, you Christian American, same thing. I said, okay, but I am a pastor and it's my church that gives the money. He said, pastor, what is pastor? And I finally go, ah, I'm a Christian imam. And he starts laughing. He goes, you know, imam, you laugh too much. I said, no, I am really a pastor. And he says, oh, this is wonderful, Bob. Very good, very good. And I'm scared to death. And so he takes me to his family's compound. And if you're from that part of the world, you know how it is. You go in the compound. There's several houses in the compound. And they bring out a camel. Say, John Wayne, John Wayne. And so I get on the camel. And it throws me off. But I start laughing. They're happy about that. He goes, come on, Bob. I'll show you more Afghanistan. I said, no, no, no. This is enough. He says, come with me. Just don't talk. I don't Afghan clothes. And I have a big beard, and it's a lot bigger when I go to Afghanistan, so I can pass for Pashto with a sunburn on it. So we go, and he takes me into the middle of the desert, and he says, I have a special surprise tonight. And so we meet in this little village, and he brings out 20 young imams. And he said, this is my friend Bob Roberts from America. And I said, hello. And I said, what do you want me to do? He said, let them ask you questions. So I sat up until 2 a.m. and they asked me questions. And then they started arguing because my friend had told them I was going to build a school for the village where he grew up in. We can afford that. That's only $3,000 or $4,000, not $10 million. And so all of a sudden those imams were arguing. I said, well, what's wrong? He looked over at me and said, Bob, don't worry about it. They're wanting you to build schools in their 4 villages. And all of a sudden I began to think, wow, this is crazy. And I thought to myself, y'all won't appreciate this, but I thought, WWPD, what would the Apostle Paul do? And I thought, these are imams I'm working with, not Christian pastors, and I'm going to do work with them. And I thought, would God get upset with me? The Bible never says God gets upset when we work with other people that are non-Christians to help them, even if they don't want to convert. And my conversion rate in Afghanistan was pretty much non-existent. All right?
You're building schools and hospitals.
That's what we did. And so I said, what if I get a Christian pastor and I could bring him over? His church pays for your school and your clinic. So we built schools, clinics. But I became friends with those Muslims and I love them. The first time I heard the call to prayer in my life was I'd been driving all day long across the desert and I was exhausted. And I'd come straight from an airplane to, I don't need to tell you where I went, but anyhow, I get to that place. And all of a sudden, 4 a.m, is that when it happens? I heard a, hello! I just jumped up. And I thought, where's our guard? You know,
you thought it's an attack.
Scared, yeah. I mean, it's coming out over the speaker. And then somebody explained to me what it means. Did you know I actually like listening to the call to prayer now? Now, the problem is, I tell some of my evangelical friends, they freak out over that. I'm not going to be a Muslim. Please don't be offended. I'll be submitted to God.
Inshallah, one day. Inshallah. Yeah. Inshallah. And you know inshallah, right?
I do. And I do respect the Prophet Muhammad. I don't feel it necessary to belittle him in any way. I've read two biographies about him. I'm about to read my third biography about him. I just think, here's the problem, guys. 2.2 billion Christians, 1.8 billion Muslims. If we don't get along, the world is in a mess. And it's up to some of us to say, enough, enough. And why should I have to change my religion to get along with you? Why can't I just say, hey, you're not going to agree with me, but I respect you. Why should you have to change your religion? Furthermore, here's what got me in a lot of trouble, Yasser. I started standing up for religious freedom in America for Muslims. And we lost hundreds of people from our church. Bob, why are you doing that? I mean, Christians are persecuted around the world. I said, yeah, they are. And Muslims are persecuted in America. And if we want religious freedom for ourselves, we've got to provide it for everyone else. And furthermore, is our faith so weak that we're afraid of another religion being present?
So, Bob, you actually faced criticism from your own congregation for speaking out for Muslim rights in America.
A lot of it. It was very hard. It was very hard.
And you lost people from your church?
Hundreds.
Wow.
Hundreds. Yeah. And they thought that I'd, you know, compromised my faith. So can I just be candid with you? Can I tell you what we really believe? Don't get mad at me. So I told you we believe Jesus is God. We believe that he died for the sins of the world, and our mission is to tell people about Jesus. And they said, now you're saying that there are many ways to God. No, I have not changed my way to God. I still believe Jesus is the only way to God. I'm not going to say who's in heaven, who's out of heaven. That's up to God. It's not my place. I'll let God work all that out. I can tell you with all my heart, I believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. With all of my heart that I believe that. But some of them were saying, no, you're just believing in interfaith and universalism. And I didn't. But here's what I would say. I would be what you call Miroslav Volf, our friend. He would call me an exclusivist. If I truly believe that Jesus is the way to God, why would I vilify people I disagree with? Shouldn't I love them instead? If I believe that's true, I ought to love in such an extreme way that even if they reject the gospel, I bring value to them.
So, Pastor, again, let me ask you again a very clear question, and we have to be, again, frank in this conversation, because I don't believe in ignoring these elephants in the room. You're building schools, you're building hospitals, you're doing it because you're a Christian, but are the services in those hospitals and schools contingent on them converting? So you're building this because you think that's what a good Christian would do.
Yeah.
And it's open for everybody.
Yeah.
Because you do know that some groups, they build hospitals and schools in order to spread Christianity via those mechanisms, right?
I do, and I think that's wrong. And you do know Muslims do that too. So I think we ought to serve people. We have a saying at our church. Serve not to convert. Serve because you've been converted. Now that's a different motivation. So the good that I do, it's not because I'm twisting your arm to be like me. Now I want to tell you my good news. Listen, how many of you Muslims are nervous that Christians are going to try to convert you? Could I see your hands? How many of you are a little nervous about that? Well, good. I'm proud of you. A lot of times Muslims are nervous. I've had Muslims try to convert me nonstop.
Well, we're going to try. We're going to try as well. Do you mind if we try?
No.
Repeat after me. Ashhadu.
No shahada. But Hamza Yusuf is always calling me. Majid. I mean, I can go down the list. I remember, listen, this is no joke. I was in London and I was with this very prominent, very wealthy Muslim businessman. And he came up to me and I became close friends to him. And we were there with some Muslim leaders. And he started sobbing. And he said, Bob, I cannot bear the thought of you in hell. No, don't laugh. Don't laugh. He said, I love you so much. Would you please consider Islam and would you convert? That was the greatest compliment that old man could have given me. Because you know what he was saying? I love you, Bob. And I believe that there is one way that you go to heaven and I don't want you to be in hell. Why would I not be honored by that? Why would that not be a respectful and a kind thing? It was to me. I love that man.
See, this is the type of conversation we need to have, because again, for us, as Allah says, "Inna dina inda Allah al-Islam," we believe the way to Allah is Islam. And we believe to believe Jesus is God is a type of blasphemy. We have to be clear here. Yet we are theologically on different paradigms. Question is, what do we do about it? Do we just spread hatred? Do we try to build, you know, barriers between us? Or do we learn to work together in spite of those differences, and we leave the judgment to God?
And this is the conversation, and this is what I want to talk to you about next time. Because the reality is, I really can't change the way you think as Muslims, but he can. And he can help you understand the Quran and the Hadiths. And how do you relate? Because if I'm not mistaken, the Quran is very clear. I've read it 3 times. I've studied different surahs. It's very clear that God didn't make us all the same religion. He could have. So if he didn't, your responsibility, if I'm not a believer as you are, is to love me, practice the way so that you're a good model for Islam, and care for me. Guess what? Exact same thing in Christianity. I think a critical question we have to ask is this. Does a person have value if they're not in your faith? Just let that question sink in. Does a person have value if they're not in your faith? And if they don't, I'd say that's a bad faith. Because if God is the God of the universe and he's the God of the earth, man, then he wants his goodness to flow.
So, Bob, I don't want to keep you too long. I know it's a week night, but final question. Knowing that there's so much tension between evangelicals and Muslims, and knowing we're the minority, and frankly, a lot of us are worried about the type of rhetoric that we see in the evangelical community, what practical advice can you give us about working to overcome the stereotypes that evangelicals have about us? What do we do with our colleagues, neighbors, friends that are evangelical and don't want to talk with us, don't want to have anything to do with us?
2 things. Number one, you just need to be nice to them. Evangelicals love fried chicken. Just get them a box of fried chicken and leave it at their door. Say compliments of your Muslim neighbor. That may help some.
Samosas, do they help?
Yes, samosas. Oh, samosas. They don't know what to do with samosas. Now, once they eat them, they like them. But if you put them there, they're probably just going to look at them and go, I don't know what animal laid that. So don't do that. Instead, get something they know like fried chicken. All right? That's the first thing I'd say. Here's the second thing I'd say. You can't do it by yourself. So let me tell you a principle of civil rights. Are you ready for this? You have to speak out, but until the majority starts pushing the way forward, you're going to be limited in what you can do. So the whole civil rights bill happened because Lyndon Johnson became friends with Martin Luther King and he pushed it through. Do you follow me? So can I be blunt with you? The best solution you have to dealing with Islamophobia is to become friends with evangelicals. And when they start pushing things, you need to show up. You need to be present. So can I tell them what we're doing at our church?
Go ahead.
So this Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I want to invite every single one of you to come to our church. It starts at 6. You have to register. Now, look, I know y'all won't all agree with this guy, even though he's a Muslim. I like him. He became my friend many years ago. But Muhammad Al-Alisa is the president of the Muslim World League. And he wrote something called the Mecca Declaration. And he's never been to an evangelical church, so he wanted to come. I said, well, don't just come, read that declaration. And from that, we wound up inviting all these people to respond from all over the world. And so Christine Kane is a Christian, deals with human trafficking. David Saperstein is going to respond, the ambassador for religious freedom under Obama. Sam Brownback, the ambassador for religious freedom under President Trump. And Rashad Hussein, a very close friend of mine.
Imam Majid.
Yeah, Imam Majid is going to come. Yeah. Walter Kim, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start at 6. We're going to have a fair. You can walk around. There'll be Christian booths and Muslim booths. Nobody's going to try to convert you, all right? So there'll be booths. You can walk around and look. And then we're going to have a prayer space, because there's a 6:31 prayer. But you got to go in there and pray and don't horse around, and then come back in the auditorium. And then we're going to start at 6:37. And what we're going to do, me and Majid and Al-Alisa and the rabbi who was held hostage and Azar and many of us are going to be there. We're going to sing some different music. We're going to have a special guy to come and do recitation. And here's what I'm trying to, evangelicals are coming from all over the country. People that you see on religious television are coming and they're not speaking. There's a lot of famous people that are being there. They're just coming. I'm trying to say, look at Muslims. And so they're like us. And we don't have to agree with their theology, but we can be friends with them. So that's what we're going to do from 6 to 8. And so at 2,000, it's getting capped. We're well over halfway there now. So here's the thing. You have to register because, believe it or not, people from the White House, State Department, DHS are all coming. So we're doing it. The North Texas Islamic Council is working with us. The Muslim World League is coming. So you have to register. So if you take one of these brochures, we're going to pass them out as soon as it's over. It's free, but you have to register for security purposes. We want you there. The next day, if you can come back the next day, all day, it's going to be pastors, imams, and rabbis that'll be speaking. So that's what it's about. Can I close with one thing?
Sure.
We believe repentance is important. I don't know all that Islam believes about repentance. I do know you believe in repentance.
Yes.
So we believe that repentance, there's two parts to repentance. First, you have to say that you're sorry and you acknowledge that what you did is wrong. That's what I'm here tonight to do, to say, I've just told you how I was wrong, how I felt about Muslims. I've told you how evangelicals are wrong and how they've seen that with Muslims. The second part is not just to acknowledge the wrong that you did, but it's correcting the wrong that was done. It's doing action. This event is action. It's saying, now we no longer want to hate Muslims. We've got to build bridges with them. And one of my dreams is that every mosque would have an evangelical church that's right close to them that would befriend them and build a relationship with them. That's my dream. Right here in Dallas, Texas, where the prejudice and the Islamophobia is harder than anywhere else. If it can be done here, it can be done anywhere. I remember I was with the Saudi prince that I'm very close to. I've known him for many years. And he told me, he said, Bob, it's good what you're doing around the world, but what about Dallas, Texas? And I said, Your Highness, me reaching out to Muslims there would be like you starting a Baptist Sunday school class in Mecca. It wouldn't go over real big. But he said, and Bob, that's why you need to do it at home. So here's what I'm asking. I want our kids to love one another. I want us to be able to have legitimate conversations. I'm asking you to come on Sunday night. I'm begging you. I'm doing everything I can to fight Islamophobia, but I can't do it by myself. And all I want them to do, I just want them to get to know you. I want them to get to know the Muslims that I've come to know. And you know what? Somebody will probably say something stupid to you. Can I just tell you right now? They'll probably say something stupid. They'll say something wrong. They may challenge you or something. They're not going to be mean to you. If they are, let me know. I'll take care of it. I'm from Texas. We know how to deal with stuff like that. Just let me know. But we've got to get to know them. And you're from Texas. You were born here. So we don't mess with one another. That's Texas. This is Texas.
We've heard a lot of nasty things the last 20 years. So I don't think we're going to hear anything that we haven't already heard. Don't worry. But thank you so much,
you
Pastor
bet.
Bob.
Thank you. Enjoyed being with you. Me and Majib will be out in the foyer. We'll pass these out. Hope you can come. Thank
so
you.
I want to just conclude, Pastor Bob, by saying this community is very, very grateful for your presence here. We're grateful for the work that you're doing. Consider this to be your sister mosque. Come anytime as a guest, as a person, just want to intermingle with us. And I'm more than happy to also visit your church as well. And let's see if we can start building those bridges within our own community to see what we can do. And you know what? Yes, we have some serious disagreements, some very deep theological dialogues, and I'm very happy to have them. But after we've done those dialogues, let's also think about how we can feed the hungry. Let's also come together and how we can minimize the hatred, how we can build a better society here on earth. And yes, those differences will remain. But what can we do in spite of those differences? That's the question I have for your congregation. And my congregation, I know as well, is also interested in the same thing. So thank you so much for coming. And let's begin our dialogue. This is the first part. And Pastor Bob has promised to come again, correct?
I'll do it.
And hopefully I'll also go to his church as well. So this is the beginning of many more conversations. Thank you very much and God bless.
Thank you.
الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يئوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.